Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the big game. Surely people have good friends coming over, party food prepared, and appropriate beverages at the ready. For when the National Football Conference team and the American Football Conference team face off in a flag football match as part of this year's Pro Bowl. Surely that is why today's epistle reading talked about athletes competing and winning a prize. Today's psalm mentioned the legs of a man. And today's Old Testament reading referred to youths fainting and being weary and young men's falling exhausted. No, you say? Maybe if there was not an extra week between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, then the true big game would have lined up with today's readings as it did back in 2017. Not that there necessarily is a professional football connection to today's gospel reading, unless we move Jesus from the house of Simon and Andrew into the blue tent on the sidelines in order to miraculously heal the players who might be injured. Today's gospel reading can be said to consist of Jesus' healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law on a Sabbath, Jesus' healing more sick people that evening, his departing from Capernaum the next morning, and what is called his first preaching tour in Galilee, during which he also, in a sense, healed. Today's gospel reading picks up immediately where last Sunday's gospel reading left off. And today's gospel reading is said to continue the same theme of Jesus' preaching and enacting the gospel. And presumably at least some of those who were astonished and amazed at his preaching in last Sunday's gospel reading, a few hours later, were bringing to Jesus all who were sick or oppressed by demons in today's gospel reading. Today, we heard both how Jesus lovingly lifted up one suffering woman who might have been elderly and widowed and thought to be insignificant by others, and how Jesus perhaps more expeditiously healed many others who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Sometimes our hearing about Jesus' miraculously healing those who were sick with various diseases can be difficult. For we may be sick with various diseases and long to be healed too. Like the people of Israel in today's Old Testament reading, we may think wrongly that our way is hidden from the Lord and that our right is disregarded by our God. I would think that the people looking for Jesus back in Simon and Andrew's house the next morning may have felt a little disregarded if Jesus, as it seems, went on to the next town without going back there. And yet, as with the people of Israel, so for them, and also for us. God's past action, such as his creation, should assure us that he can and will accomplish any and all future action that he promises, which no doubt will be far greater than we might imagine our physical healing would be. We are not disregarded. Too often, we simply lack faith. Of course, all the various diseases are a reminder of sins being in the world, with its consequence of death. First and foremost, we all have what in some sense is the terminal disease of original sin. By nature, we are spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. And we also would be physically dead and tormented for eternity if God, out of his love, mercy, and grace, did not call and thereby enable us to be sorry for our sin and to trust him to forgive our sin. When we so repent, then God forgives us. God forgives our sinful nature and our sinfully feeling disregarded due to our lack of faith. God forgives all our actual sin, whatever our actual sin might be. God forgives us for Jesus' sake. By Jesus' preaching and enacting the gospel, Jesus revealed himself to be true God in human flesh. Jesus did not need demons to identify him, either as the Holy One of God, as we heard the unclean spirit say in last Sunday's gospel reading, or as the Christ, as the divinely inspired St. Luke reports on this occasion. Jesus' preaching the gospel itself was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies about the Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior, and revealed who he was. And Jesus' enacting the gospel both also showed that he was who he said he was and anticipated his victory over sin and death on the cross. On the cross, Jesus died for all people, including you and me. On the cross, Jesus died in our place, the death that we deserve. And then he rose from the grave. Jesus' preaching and enacting the gospel results in faith. As we sang in today's psalm, the Lord's pleasure is not in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in his steadfast love or mercy. In today's gospel reading, Jesus spoke of his having come out in order to preach in the next towns. In today's epistle reading, St. Paul spoke of the necessity laid on him to preach the gospel. And others arguably have similar necessity. Surely all such necessity is for our sake, as we also likewise preach. We also enact the gospel. Jesus is casting out demons. We do with water in holy baptism, rescuing from death and the devil. Like Jesus with Simon Peter's mother-in-law, with gentle touch in holy absolution, forgiving sins as validly and certainly as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. And like Jesus' table fellowship in Simon and Andrew's house, with bread and wine in the Holy Supper, where bread is the body of Christ given for us and wine is the blood of Christ shed for us. God's word and sacraments are no less efficacious miracles today than Jesus' preaching and enacting the gospel then. Through his means of grace, God gives his Holy Spirit, who creates faith in his Son, when and where he pleases in those who hear the gospel. And the Holy Spirit, through those same means of grace, transforms us. In today's gospel reading, after the fever left her, Simon Peter's mother-in-law began to serve Jesus, and presumably also Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Her returning to her vocation is an indication that she was cured. but her returning to her vocation also guides us. He who came not to be served, but to serve, nevertheless, sometimes was still served. Other women, such as Martha, also served our Lord with hospitality in their homes. And some today may similarly host their pastor in their homes for a number of reasons. Though pastors' ministry today is primarily supported through offerings to the church. Our sanctification shows in other ways too. As St. Paul likened himself to an athlete in today's epistle reading, we also try to discipline our bodies and keep them under control, lest we be disqualified. And God himself also disciplines us, if nothing else, permitting our afflictions and supplying his grace sufficient for us to bear up under them. Even those people who experienced Jesus' miraculous healings of various diseases still later died in this world, as will we, unless the Lord first comes in judgment. But already now, we have the spiritual healing that matters most, for it leads to our glorified bodies free from sin, sickness, and suffering for all eternity. We are not disregarded. The professional football players in this week's Pro Bowl games and next week's Super Bowl may faint, be weary, and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord in faith, at least ultimately, will, as today's Old Testament reading said, renew their strength, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.